Now we go on to the second section, which is the contemplation of feelings. There are three basic types of feeling: pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, and what is neutral, really, neither unpleasant nor pleasant feeling. Now we have to understand, Pali the word is Vedana, and then we translate it into English as feeling. It's not exactly satisfactory, because we think of feelings, how we feel about something, but that is not quite what it means in this situation. They're more like instinctual reactions to a stimulus. That means before you even really think about something or make up your mind whether you like it or you don't like it, or you feel you don't care about it, before you even thought about it, there's already like an instinctual reaction to any contact that you get. It's this instinctual reaction that is being talked about in this section. So there are these three different types of feeling. Pleasant feeling, that means something that you immediately feel attracted towards. Unpleasant feeling is something that you're repulsed by. When you first come in contact with it, before you even think about it, there is a kind of withdrawal from it. Neither unpleasant nor pleasant feeling means when you don't feel one way or the other. In fact, even when you get very, very highly refined states of mind, my experience anyway is it's either pleasant, you know, all the sensations that are arising are normally either pleasant or unpleasant. You're either attracted towards them or, you know, repulsed from them. This neither unpleasant nor pleasant feeling is sometimes present when the contact is not strong enough to create a reaction. So this is also very important to understand. Yeah, even before you start thinking about something, you're already attracted towards something or repulsed away from it. That reaction that you get is what guides everything that comes afterwards. So when there's a pleasant feeling, that's the initial reaction when you get a contact, then you start moving towards it. Your mind is attracted towards it. It starts making a story around it, yeah, which is attractive. Yeah, you don't start making an unattractive story about something that is initially pleasant. Yeah, you start seeing it in a rosy light, if you like. The opposite is also true. When the initial contact gives an unpleasant, uncomfortable, you don't like it, you don't, you know, want to be with it, you start then, from that basis, you start making up another story. That story is saying how, you know, horrible that thing is. Now, most feelings, actually, when they arise, are quite weak. They're not so very strong. So it's quite subtle to be able to see it. It's very difficult initially to be able to see those feelings when they're too subtle like this. But you can see it when the feelings are very strong. When you see somebody you love, yeah, who you have a very strong attraction to, immediately your mind, you know, kind of opens up and is attracted to, say, that person or that object or whatever it is, yeah? Or if you see somebody who has hurt you a lot, who has caused you a lot of pain, as soon as you see that person, you immediately have a reaction, yeah? And you want to draw back. That person might be coming to do something nice, yeah? He might, you know, that person might actually be coming to say sorry. You don't know, but you immediately, you have this feeling and you contract. Now you can try it. Next time, you know, you see somebody who makes you angry or makes, you know, repulses you in some way, you just avert the mind from the object to the body and see what the body feels like at that time. It starts feeling agitated. it starts having running sensations on it. That way you can get an insight into what unpleasant feeling is doing in the body, how it makes the body feel uncomfortable, how the mind reacts to that uncomfortable feeling, and how it withdraws from it. It wants to get away from it. It might want to push the object away, or it might want to withdraw itself away. But the important thing is that an unpleasant feeling has arisen, and there's, before you know it, you already are a victim of what is happening. Before you can think about it, before you can conceptualize, before you can understand what is going on with the contact that is arising, you're already a victim of it. Now, the opposite is true as well. When a pleasant feeling arises, and then if you say you've been abroad for a few weeks, and then you come home and you see your husband or you see your wife, as long as you've got a happy marriage, of course. Right, you come back and you see somebody that you love, or maybe at Chinese New Year, you see your parents after a long time. Yeah, you might not have seen them all year or something. And then when you get that sensation, when you get that contact, have a look at how the body feels then. Also, it can be the case that, when a man sees a beautiful woman, then he's immediately attracted to that person. He's immediately attracted to that contact, and he wants to get closer to that contact. Same in reverse, of course, with a woman's attraction to a man, say. If you don't understand about how feelings arise, and most people do not know, actually, about feelings, yeah? They do not know how these feelings are actually controlling their lives, yeah? But when you understand about these feelings, again, just like with the body, you can get a distance from it. When you know that these feelings are arising, that they're controlling what is happening subsequently, then you can get a little bit of distance from it. Otherwise, you're just going to be a victim because you don't know what is controlling your thoughts. There's something actually there controlling your thoughts, and you have no knowledge about it. You're just working with it. You're just going with the story. Now then, when you just go with the story, you might be doing something very unwholesome. You see something very unpleasant, and then you immediately start making a story about it, and before you know it, you've got angry. You've got angry with that person. Maybe you start shouting at them. You don't know what that person is doing at this point in time. That person who is coming towards you might be coming to apologize for something they did before. Yeah, but you're not in control of the situation. It's just your feelings are in control. So you can see again that understanding how these things work, it's just a matter of really understanding the basic workings of the mind. But most people do not know about the basic workings of the mind. They just live it, yeah, without understanding it. So what they're living in is a delusion. It's just what is happening is in control. They are not in control. That's why the Buddha has given these teachings. It's so that you're no longer, if you follow these teachings, if you understand them properly, you're no longer have to be a victim of the world. Once you understand the teachings and you understand the wisdom that goes along with the teachings, then you are back in the driving seat. It's like you're in control now because you know how these things are arising. You know how things are developing. And you can take control. I feel, anyway, most people don't really understand how, their situation is in the world. And because of that, they're, nearly kind of going from crisis to crisis. They're not able to keep steady, keep calm, understand what the situation is properly. Okay, so, what you have to do is try to practice the teachings as well. That means the next time something unpleasant arises, actually remember about the Vedana. remember about the feeling. There's something unpleasant, and then this body starts feeling uncomfortable. That uncomfortableness is starting to make the mind think in a certain way. Yeah. That way you can understand what is happening. Yeah. Instead of just going with it. But you have to practice, you see. When something arises, when it's only very subtle, you won't get it. So, you know, initially you have to see that. But I can tell you, even when you get the most refined mind states that you can ever contemplate, in those mind states, still you see that Vedana. You're either attracted to something or you're pushed away from something. So, as it says, a monk, when experiencing a pleasant feeling, knows I experience a pleasant feeling. He knows that's there. He knows it's happening. He's not caught by it anymore, right? Same when you go on, when you go into the analysis, then it's when a sensual pleasant feeling arises. Yeah, that means something sensually attractive has arisen. Then the pleasant, sensual pleasant feeling arises. But it can also be a spiritual pleasant feeling. Yeah. That means you get a very refined state of mind. It's a very attractive state of mind. Again, that feeling is there. You're not free of that feeling. Just because maybe you've developed jhana or something like that, those feelings are still there and you have to be aware of it, you see. But you're not going to see that initially. Where you're going to see it is in the sensual realm. Yeah, when something strongly attractive arises, or where something strongly unattractive arises, yeah, that's when you can initially get an insight into what is going on. Okay, so you know, we can wind it up there for the talk, and then anybody has any questions, we can take questions now.
The lady would like to ask how to get rid of the worries in the family.
There's a couple of aspects to this. One is worries are based generally on expectations, you know, maybe cannot be fulfilled. Like, you know, you want your kids to do well at school or well in their jobs. And the situation is that for whatever reason, it doesn't work out. Well, you can't force a kid to be wise. You can't force a kid to get through an exam. Yeah. You've got to have an appreciation of the child, if it's, you know, in this case, you know. It's the same with relationships, say, between husbands and wives and things like this, you know. If you have an unrealistic expectation about your partner, yeah, then it isn't going to work out, you know. So one of the things is to get a realistic appraisal of the actual situation and not to have expectations that cannot be fulfilled. All you're doing is causing stress for yourself. Nobody else is causing stress for you, actually. You're just causing stress for yourself. You want something to be in a certain way and it isn't. Reality is, it isn't. Unreality is, I want. Nearly all mental problems, actually, like worry, and actually, any defilements you can think of that arise in the mind, they're nearly always due to your own wrong thinking. It's not due to the outside world. The world is just being the world. Yeah, the world is just the world as it is. Yeah, it's unsatisfactory. What did you ever expect? You think the world's going to be satisfactory? It's an unrealistic expectation. Yeah. If your kids just don't happen to be the brightest kids in the class, you know, everybody's kids can't be the brightest kids in the class. You've got an unrealistic expectation of the kid. It's actually, you're doing it yourself. The world is just being the world, yeah? In fact, you can take control of that situation. You yourself can change your expectations and you can improve your, you know, your mental situation. You can also try and look at the situation realistically. Try and appraise the situation in a more dispassionate way and see, is there really anything to worry about here? When you're worrying, it means your mind is agitated in a certain kind of way. It's agitated, it cannot see the situation properly, and therefore it cannot act skillfully in that situation, because the mind is agitated, just like we were discussing earlier with the pond. So in a way, the first thing to do if you're worrying and you want to know how to improve the situation is just to stop worrying. Yeah. Just as far as you can, lower that state of worry, because that state of worrying is not making the situation better. It's likely to be making it worse. If you stop worrying, you get a good realistic appraisal of the situation, and then you act skillfully in that situation, you'll have less to worry about. So another part of it, of course, is just learning how to let go of the problems that arise in your life. There's always going to be problems. Nobody is problem-free. Everybody thinks, you know, that monks who live up in remote monasteries, they have no problems. All the lay people think this. But that's because they don't live there. It's just a fantasy that people have. Everybody faces problems. Monks face problems as well. They have their own sorts of problems. Lay people have their own sorts of problems. Everybody has problems. The situation is, wherever you are in life, you have to learn how to deal skillfully with your problems. Not try and find a place where there's no problems. You'll never find it.